I believe I have a word this morning. It's called Get Up, Part 5. Do you know how many get ups there is in the Bible? Eh? I mean, if God's saying it over and over again, it's for a reason. Amen? But he wants us to get up to another level. I shared quickly last week regarding the Balaam and the... I didn't share about the Nicolaitan spirit, but the Balaam spirit literally is a sexual immorality spirit which has infected the church. I want to chuck a few statistics out to you that I've been reading during the week that will probably shock you, but don't be shocked because it's the reality that's happening in the church and just the world today in general, where four out of 10 men, Christian men, will subscribe to pornography. One of them subscribe to pornography. It's not a man problem. It's a people problem. I'll rephrase that. It's a sin problem. Three women will subscribe to pornography. And it's a Balaam spirit. And what it does, it wants to distract you and allow your morality to fall to such you don't think God, you can go back to God. And it wants to separate you from it. You can read this in Revelation chapter 2. And the next one he talks about is the Nicolaitan spirit. I'll quickly go through this so we can go on. Nicolaitan spirit is a spirit of compromise. Nicholas was one of the people, he was a proselyte. He was one of the people that, this is, it's actually not proven, but that comes back to, that was in the Pergamon church. And he all of a sudden got an idea of relevancy. So he went back to what he shouldn't have went back to the places of worship of their false gods of Zeus and all them other gods of Asherah and the idols and the poles of Asherah and of Baal and all them, thinking he would be able to turn them to win them over to Jesus. And so what he compromised himself, thinking that it's all right because God is love and love will cover and you just accept them for where they're at and where they are and everything will be sweet as long as they come to a meeting. That is a false gospel. That is a false gospel because God will not live with compromise. Hear me, he will never live with compromise. He wants you holy. He wants you righteous. And he wants this flesh to die that he might live. Amen. You can't kill the flesh. It's a work of the spirit. If you try and kill yourself, your flesh, that is. You try and kill the works of your flesh, you will fail, I will fail. That's why I need Jesus. Amen. And he never gives me any more than I can handle. And all temptation is common to man. Doesn't mean because they're doing that and I'm doing this, it's different. Or theirs is bigger and yours is smaller. God does not categorize sin. We categorize sin. And you shouldn't categorize sin. Sin is sin. Amen. Therefore, we all have to become before him as sinners and just get repentant and clean hands and pure heart before the Lord. Amen. So the Nicolaitan spirit is a spirit of compromise. These are the two things. And it's never left the house. It's been a battle in the house for years. And it doesn't just affect people that are sitting in pews. Affects everyone. Leaders, pastors, prophets, evangelists, doesn't matter what you are. That will not save you from it. You need Jesus. I need Jesus as much as anyone needs Jesus. I need the power of the blood as much as anyone needs the power of the blood. Just because my title is pastor, I've got faults. I've got flaws. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. The minute you don't think you need Jesus, watch out. Amen. So get up part 5. I'm going to talk about a man called Gideon. A man called Gideon. My wife's not here to give me my glasses. She's in Christ. I've got my glasses. That's all right. Let's read together of Judges chapter 6, verse 11 to 22. 6, 11 to 22. People of God had come to a place where they come in a place of compromise and they were under subjection to lots of kings. They used to get raided a lot from the north. Every time a harvest came, they would come and they would wipe out their harvest. They would take their cattle and they'd take their camels, take their donkeys and take their sheep, and they would strip the land bare, then they would leave again. And Israel was in a place of destitution because they had turned from God. And in the midst of all that, God comes in the midst of their mess. Hear me, God is wonderful like that. I don't qualify for God's presence. I've just got to invite him into my mess. Hear me, I've got to first acknowledge my mess, and then I have to invite him into my mess. Amen. See, now the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, the angel of the Lord, the angel with a capital A, which was an Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in a wine press. In other words, he was hiding. He took some wheat. You don't put wheat in a wine press, you put grapes in a wine press. He was hiding some wheat from the Midianites, and he was hiding it in a wine press, and he was trying to get some family in order to hide from the Midianites, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Do you notice Gideon wasn't looking for the Lord? The Lord found him. First great revelation of your Christian walk that will keep you humble. You did not find God. He found you. Amen. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man." What a ridiculous statement. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. He's hiding in a wine press. Then he says this, "Who me? I'm the least of the tribe of Manasseh and the least in my family. Calling me a mighty man of valor." This is what God showed me. He's only a mighty man of valor because of the statement before. The Lord is, that's it. What gets me a mighty man of valor? Victory. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. You mighty man. Immediately, God changed the situation and said, if I am for you, who can be against you? If I am with you, has God ever lost a fight? If he did, he wouldn't be God. He is God. I am you, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us," oh, we won't go there. "Why then has all this happened to us?" Straight away goes to the moanies and the groanies. You know them two things that we always agree with? The moanies and the groanies. "Oh my Lord, if he is with us, why then did all this happen to us? And where are all his miracles? God, if you're saying you're for me, why has this all happened to me?" Where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, "Did not the Lord bring Egypt? But now, Lord, you've forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Gideon had a bit of an attitude. Footnote, hint. It's not what happens to me that determines if God is with me. It's how I respond. I'm going to say that again. It's not what happens to me that determines if God is with me. Because God reigns on the just and the bless the unjust as much as the just. It's not that which determines to people if God is for me, with me. What determines that is, how do I respond? Do I walk in the fruit of the Spirit? Do I walk in the love, the joy, the temperance, the meekness, the gentleness? And there's another one. And the self-control. Is that what's coming out of me? In the midst of my... Notice God never responded to his question. God never answered the question with... This is what he said. And the Lord turned to him. The old Message Bible says, he looked at him face to face. I don't want to see that look. And he turned to him literally face to face and said, "Go in the might, this might of yours." What? That I am with you. That's his might. That's his power. That's his strength. It's not by might, not by power, but by his... Zechariah 4. Not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. He goes with you. When he is with you and for you, You cannot lose. But if I get caught up in the moanies and the groanies, oh God, where were you in this? Oh God, where were you in that? Oh God, why didn't you do this when I asked you? And all the time, in the midst of all that, God is developing something in you called fruitfulness and faithfulness. Faithfulness is this, faith that has been tried. You can't be counted faithful unless your faith has been tried. Therefore, God is developing faithfulness in our lives. So in the midst of my storm, in the midst of whatever I'm going through, will I remain faithful and remain fruitful? Amen. And he said this, then the Lord turned to him literally face to face and said, go in this might of yours and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. I want you to understand this one phrase. Have I not sent you? I believe the Lord is calling his church out of the midst of obscurity. He's calling her out of a place of the shadows to reveal his light in this day like never before. He's going to cause his church to let go of the former things that he can come into the new things. And he needs his church to shut her mouth about the moanies and the groanies. And believe by faith that God is with you and God is for you. And if he is with you and for you, there's a power within you. Come on. There is a resident power living within you that can open all things. For the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. I'll have it all if you don't want it. Where does he dwell? In you. And if that spirit has the capacity to bring resurrection life to you, if that Holy Spirit, and he is Holy Spirit, he's a personage of the Trinity of God, he's a person called Holy Spirit, and he has all power and all authority on earth. And he resides not in a building. He doesn't reside in a little temple. He doesn't reside in a tent in the midst of a wilderness. He resides in a temple that he designed and fashioned before, and he lives within every born again, hear me, born again believer. If you're a born again believer this morning, you have the Spirit of God residing within you. Amen. You don't have to ask God to keep coming in. He's in. Amen. He's in. What I've got to do is acknowledge it and recognize it for who he is. Therefore, I can walk in the authority and the power thereof. It. Get up, you mighty man of valor. Hear me, it's time to shake some stuff off. You've got to get up. You've got to get up, you mighty man and woman of valor, and start walking in what God has purposed for your life. You might never feel it. Feelings. You might feel the feelings. You might never experience the shiver and the little shudder and all the shundies and the mundies and the witnesses. You might never experience that. But he is a God who cannot lie. Amen. If he says to you, you've got it, you've got it. If you don't, if you're saying, well, I don't get a witness on that. Well, you're wrong. Your witness is wrong. You can say, well, hey, do you know that, Pastor Dave? How can I be wrong? Well, he's never wrong. So something be wrong. And if he's never wrong, it must be you. It ain't rocket science. Amen? You have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, and he wants the light of the Christ within you to be revealed in this hour like never before. Where darkness abounds, grace abounds. Come on, you Bible people, much more. It abides much more grace of the enabling power of the Lord. Do you know that's what grace means? The enabling power of the Lord. There's a power, an enabling power resonant in you, waiting to be released through your words and through your creed and what you believe. And God, not to promote you, not to make you feel good, to see a harvest. To see a harvest. Harvest. I said this in the prayer meeting. I'm going to reiterate it again. God is coming back, and there'll be a remnant in the last days. Who believes that? Bible says that. Right? But the remnant never stayed a remnant. The remnant grew. Amen. The remnant in the upper room didn't say just 100. Within weeks, it was thousands. He wants thousands in this day to experience Jesus Christ. Please, please, I love the end time stuff and all that, but it's about you and I fulfilling the purpose to see souls saved, that the light in me might shine forth, that they can see the victor in me, having the victory in me. Amen? It's time for the season, the hour, to stand up in the power of his might, that the Lord is with you. You believe that? All of us were given a commission in Matthew 28. Go ye therefore all the world and preach the gospel. Did he only say to the 12? Did he only say, go ye therefore to 12? How many? Everyone. And all of us are told, like Gideon, go. We've got to go, but we've got to go in the power of his might. I've got to go in the power of his might. I've got to go in a conquering spirit. I've got to go that he dwells within me. Amen. Turn with me. Oh, this is off the track, but we'll get there. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I think it's verse 10. You mightn't even have it. Well, I haven't got it up there. So you have to get your Bibles. Wow. Wow. If you haven't got a Bible, look it up on the internet. May I encourage you, when you come to church, bring your Bible. Don't rely on a screen. Bring your book. Amen. Bring the good news. I think it's Matthew. What did I say? Ephesians. Let's read it together. I think it's 11 or 10. The armor of God. Yeah, that's what it is. Let's read it. The kids are gone, so we can say that one. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of what? Be strong in the power of what? His might. Same thing he said to Joshua. Be strong in my might. Be strong. Amen? Well, yeah, that's it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles literally means schemes. Plans, right? To stand against. And if you look up the word stand, when we make a stand against the devil, it's not stand where you're just out and saying, oh, I resist you, I resist you, I resist you. It literally means this in the Greek, take a stand and push him back to the line that across where he shouldn't have come. In other words, set your boundary again. Push him out of your place. Four times the word stand is in them four verses. Right, doing all to stand. Stand therefore. Let's read again, quick. And I'll go on. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Blow down, David. Therefore, take up the whole armor. Now, he's talking to a church. He's talking to a church that mustn't have had all the armor on. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, doing all to accept, so you may be able to withstand in the day. In other words, when we say this, things like this, doing all to stand, stand therefore, I'm not standing for in the hope that my prayer will be answered. I'm not standing there for in the hope that when I've spoken, he will flee. That's what I'm standing there for. I'm standing there for in his goodness and the authority and the power of his. I'm standing in it. When I've spoken what I've spoken and when I've rebuked what I've rebuked, I believe it's done. I don't have to be standing saying, oh God, I hope you've done that. Oh God, please, 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 God, please, I hope you've done that. Did you hear my prayer? I'll just say just in case. God doesn't work like that. When you've spoken it, you've got to believe it's done. And when you're standing in, you're standing as it's already done, not hoping it's going to be done. It is done. It's done. Amen? doing all to stand therefore. Well, how would I do that? I've pushed him back to the line that he's crossed over where he shouldn't have crossed. I've pushed him past my boundary saying, you can't come in. I'm standing, doing all to stand. You can't come in. This is it. This is my line. You've got no right. You've got no authority. This is it. This is my domain. God has given me the power and authority to keep this, and you cannot cross over. You can't bug. You can speak to me, but you can't bug me. If you bug me, I'll walk away. You know, Smith Wigglesworth woke up one night. Anyone know Smith Wigglesworth? He got woken up one night, and the devil was standing at his bed, foot of his bed. He woke up, and he looked at him, and he says, oh, it's only you, and went back to sleep. It's in his book. He says, oh, it's only you, and went back to sleep. His daughter says, what? You know, weren't you? He says, no. He says, while he's with me, he's not with you. Because he's not omnipresent. He can only be at one place at a time. So if someone says to me, oh, the devil woke me up last night, I say, thank you, Jesus, he wasn't at my house. You've got to bring it in perspective. Your God has given you authority. Your God has given you authority. So when you stand on the authority of God, you become like Gideon, a mighty man of... Hallelujah. Do you know in the book of Revelation 22, it says, no coward shall inherit the kingdom of God. He says, no fornicator, no idolater, no adulterer. Then he goes, and then all of a sudden he switches it. No coward will inherit the kingdom of God. I said, how can people be coward? He said, because they refuse to confess and believe in my name. Verse 14, then the Lord turned to him, literally face to face, have I not sent you? I want you to know that you've been sent. Go ye therefore in all the world and preach the gospel. You have been sent. You have been sent. You have been sent. You've been sent to us. You've been sent to the lost. You have been sent. You don't have to wait for another revelation to be sent. Your harvest starts at your door. Your harvest starts at your house. Amen. So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, the clan is the weakest of Manasseh, and I'm the least of my father's house. Isn't it amazing when you feel weak, what comes out of your mouth? Yeah. He felt the weakest of the clan. His clan was so low, man, even a shovel couldn't pick him up. He felt the lowest of lows. And all of a sudden, when you're in that mindset here, and it's a mindset, it is hard to see that you are a mighty man of valor. It is hard to declare you're a mighty man of valor. But unless you open your mouth by faith and creating something by faith, because faith comes by, and the hearing comes by the... So I start decreeing the word of the Lord that gives me an ability to have a fresh ear to hear. And therefore, what I'm doing then with the word of the Lord is establishing an atmosphere in my life and in my home. Amen. An atmosphere of peace, an atmosphere of faith, an atmosphere of hope. See that they know that God is for me. In the book of Acts, the sons of Sceva were trying to do some deliverance. I think it's in chapter 15 or 19. And they said this to the demoniac. We adjure you. I love that old King James stuff. We adjure you. By Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the devil turns around and says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Why did he know Paul? Why did the devil know Paul? Because Paul knew the authority he was carrying because he was a carrier of the Spirit of Jesus. And guess what? Guess who else knows your authority? The devil. And he wants to shut your mouth. Because your mouth has creative power. The Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep. Nothing happened. And God said, let there be, and there was light. There was no light till there was a word. Even though the presence of the Lord was there. David, continue. I'm getting lost. So he said to him, oh Lord, how can I save Israel? And in verse 16, the Lord said to him, surely I'll be what? Be with you. Surely you and I have got to be anchored in the knowledge that your God is for me. Your my God will never leave me nor forsake me. Your my God will see me through everything. He's the lamp to my feet. Amen. He's the light to my path. I have a promise. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. My God is in the midst of my darkness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Even in my valley of death, there's a shadow. Next. Then he said to him, if I have now found favor in your sight, show me a... I'm smiling because we're no different. When you're going through a place of weakness in your life, sometimes we need some confirmations. And the first thing this is what the Lord said, for my weakness to become a strength, the Lord directed him to do this. He said, go and get some meat, go and get some water, and bring a sacrifice. And the Lord touched the rock and flames and devoured the sacrifice. In the midst of my weakness, if I need a mindset change and a shift from weakness to strength, I must begin with a thing called sacrifice of worship. In other words, when I start worshiping Him, I forget about my... Amen. When I start worshiping Him, I elevate Him above my problem. When I start worshiping Him, I get consumed in His presence. And when I get consumed in His presence, everything seems to be okay. Amen. Do not depart from here. I pray until I come back and bring an offering and set it before you. And he said, I'll wait till you come back. And I've told you what. Next one. Have we got another one? No. All of you therefore go. Then God, the last thing God asks of him is this. He said, I want you to go at night time and I want you to go and pull down the pole of Asherah. There's many discussions about this. She's the female goddess of Baal. He says, cut her up. He did it at night because he was afraid. And he pulled down Baal and the people got really upset. The next said, who's done this? He said, now put... But build me an altar in order. Number one, in restoration of getting up into the fullness of what God has for your life, I must a life of order. Seek ye first the kingdom of. I must live out a lifestyle of order. Amen. Build an altar to Him, an altar of the heart. That's where your altar is. In other words, I've got to renew my heart. I've got to get rid of those things that I'm leaning on that aren't of Him. Amen. I've got to put them under His feet. I've got to have an altar of order. I've got to have an altar of sacrifice. He used the wood from the sacred pillars. And God says, use the wood of the sacred pillars. In other words, what you've been leaning on and what you've been drawing strength off, burn them. Get them under my feet. Get rid of them. And it has to be an altar of obedience. I don't know about you, but when you think, and he would have felt he was the only one, and the whole nation is looking at him and they're serving their gods and they put up these altars in the crowd, and God says to you, pull it down. I suppose any of us would want three witnesses, two prophecies, or something happening. But you see, God will ask you to do things sometimes that are tough. Sometimes that are confrontational to you. Where he'll say, lean on me and don't lean on your money. Trust me more than you trust it. Seek me first. Love my body when everything within you desires to curse it. Love those who have persecuted you. Pray for those who have used you. Honor them. And love on them. Sometimes it's easy to play church outside church. Because sometimes you only see them now and then. But when someone in church rubs you up the wrong way, have you rubbed up the wrong way? Anyone? Hands up. No, don't really. Everyone would have their hands up. And then God says all of a sudden, love them? Well, all right, Jesus.
I love you with the love of the Lord, sister.
I love you, but don't visit me. I love you, but I'll hang up on you if you ring me up. But I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've done it, God. I've done it for you. I did it for you, Jesus. I humbled myself. I submitted myself. God, that must mean I'm holier than them. Hallelujah. I knew there was something wrong with them. Oh, no. No, no. First, remove the plank out of your own eye before you can remove the splinter or the speck out of your eye. But you see, when the devil's on the bandwagon, you don't see the speck. You just see all their logs. Their fault. Oh, we would, God, you'd be so much better off. And then we bring them all our sacrifice.
Love you with the love of the Lord.
And God's saying, I cannot hear you. Jesus, Jesus, I need you to do this. I cannot hear you. Then we get like Gideon. But if really, God, if you really do, why hasn't this happened? And why hasn't that happened? Why hasn't this happened? So we get the moanies and we get the groanies. And these three bear witness. First, leave your gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to your brother. I desire obedience more than your sacrifice. Hallelujah. Do you honestly think God is impressed with our singing? I mean, he loves it, don't get me wrong. But I think he's got a better choir in heaven. I do. I don't think there's a note wrong in heaven. He's perfection. So, you know, he celebrates our attempt to do. But he wants my obedience. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. It's not really rocket science, is it? He wants an altar afresh on our hearts. Some of our altars are broken. Some of our altars have been built the way we think they should be built. Some of them are put in order that we think the order should be. And the order is order, others no order. And he is a God, hear me, please get this right. He is a God of order. Amen. And he will not let you go next phase until I bring that order in my life. Put the next one up, please. Before we deal with the external problems, God wants us to reset our hearts to deal with the issues that cause my weaknesses and reset my thinking. He wants me to deal with the issues of my heart. Cause me my weaknesses and reset my thinking that God is with me And it is He that has, it is God who is for me. Who can be? When you walk with a clean heart, pure hands, and I'm not saying you have to be perfect with a person, you don't. But one thing you cannot afford to do in the Christendom is ever hold a grudge. There's no place for a grudge in the kingdom of God. There's no place for a whiff of unforgiveness. You forgive and you move on. It doesn't mean you're going to be best friends. It doesn't. But it does mean you should be friendly. Come on. Doesn't mean you should be arrogant and ignorant. It means you should be friendly. Amen. And then when He sees that in our lives, I'm more aware of His presence and the power within me. And I'm going to take it a step further than that. I'm so much more aware of it, I start protecting the anointing that's on my life. Yeah? You need to protect the anointing of your life. And if it's going to cost you something to be humble, humble yourself. Amen? And your God and my God wants us to get a revelation of that whole picture, that greater is He that is in you than he that's in this world. Amen? It's time for the mighty men of valor to stand up. Stand up. I don't feel like it. Stand up. Yeah, but you don't know what. Stand up. I'm just stand up. Just get up. Amen? Get up from the pity party. Get up from the wallowness. Get up and take a step. You take a step, I am with you. Footnote and hint. When He came against the Midianites, He said, the Lord said to Him, when you fight against them, that army, they will be like one man to you. You won't see the thousands against you. Be just one man. When you look at His power, He brings it all into perspective. Doesn't matter how great the army of the enemy is. He's just, to me, one man. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Get up, you mighty man of valor. Get up, you mighty man of valor. There's mums punching their kids and telling them to get up. Wives smacking their husbands in the back. Get up. It's time to get up. Men and women of God, it's time to get up. There was a woman in the Bible called Deborah, prophetess. She was a judge in the house of God. She got up. She destroyed her enemy. Deborah means what, David? Judge. Judge. Another thing it means is this, a bee sting. She's got a sting in her tail. Amen? Don't mess with Deborah's, whatever you do. She's got a sting in her tail. Moms have stings in their tails when you come against their kids. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Don't, you can talk about me, but don't you touch my kids. Hallelujah. Mighty men, mighty women of valor, you're ready for your next phase. It's time to what? It's time to what? Stand up. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. I want you to look with eyes closed this morning. Eyes closed, please. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, I don't care if it's physical, spiritual, emotional. I don't care the need. I really don't. Because I know who the answer is. His name is Jesus. I want you to look at your mountain right now. And I want you to take a stand and withstand and push it back. Say, what right have you got to come into my house? It says, speak, mountain, and it will be removed. Amen. Every eye closed. Look at your mountain. Look at it. Look at what you might think is impossible. Now listen to this. Get up, you mighty man of valor. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Get up. Father, we thank you this morning for your spirit dwells amongst your people, in your people. Father, as every born again believer here this morning, God, you reside. And Father, you've given us the victory through the power of the cross. And I thank you that you reside within me. And I thank you, therefore, if you reside within me, you have made me an overcomer. You made me an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to know the power of your might in my life. I want to see the demonstration of the power of my family. I want to see the demonstration of the power of might in my children and my children's children in my house. That God, my house, yet for me and my house, my Lord will be saved in this hour, that will walk in the power of God, that will walk under the anointing of God, that will walk in the demonstration of God in the name of Jesus. I receive it. I receive it. I'm not being arrogant about it, Jesus. I'm being confident in you. I rise up this morning and I take my place. I rise up this morning and take back my ground. I rise up this morning and take back my authority. And I receive it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are a married couple, I want you to hold hands. And the other ones we'll do in a minute. But right now, I just feel for married couples, hold their hands. Amen. If you're single, you're married to the Lord. Hold his hand. Hold his hand. Father, I speak to every house this morning. God, I thank you this morning that it is blessed. It is that God, you're the God of more than enough. And God, you said you'll never see your children beg for bread. You said that we be the borrower, not the lender. I thank you, Lord, for your provision to every household in the name of Jesus. Physical, spiritual, or emotional, you are the answer and you are the solution to every problem. Therefore, God, we give you license to do as you will. We give you license to correct what you need to correct. And Lord, align me to what you need me to align me with, that I might see the fruitfulness of your spirit in my household in Jesus' name. I believe that. I receive that. And Lord, I thank you, you're a generational God. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Lord, for me and my after me, we are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. If that's you this morning, thank him. Thank him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I really believe he's positioning us into something new and fresh. But I'll never know who I am until I know him. First the man. Amen. First the man, then the land, then the plan. Yeah? If I can encourage you with this last few words, please get to know him. Know him. Know him. Amen. God bless you. Please save me a cup of coffee, some fellowship. That would be wonderful. And know that God has a plan for your life. Amen.